Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, which is a review management software which was created specifically for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews from their customers. You can check it out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Isa Gauchi of M. Isa Messaging, and today we are going to be discussing having the courage to do things differently. Isa is a highly accomplished marketing professional and award-winning journalist. She opened M. Isa Messaging to bring her marketing expertise and audacity to the counterculture creatives, compassionate healers, and world-changing dreamers she knows and loves. Thanks so much for joining us today, Isa.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great. So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I am tuning in from the tiny hamlet of Beaver Creek, Oregon. It's not even a real town.
That's awesome. And so tell, what really motivates or inspires you? Like, what kind of gets you out of bed in the morning?
It's kind of corny, but I actually just really love my job. I love waking up and getting to be creative every day. I really love my clients. We're all a bunch of weirdos and it's awesome. And I just love spending my time this way.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's weird at all. I think it's critical to be super passionate about what you do because you spend so much of your life doing it, right? So you've got to have that love for it.
Totally.
And then how did you get into digital marketing?
Completely by accident. So I was one of that dying breed of newspaper print journalists, and it was really awesome. But after a few years of 80-hour weeks and the workload, I was like, maybe I need a different job. And I really was not sure at all what I wanted to do next. So I got hired just kind of randomly as a marketing assistant for a market research company in the B2B tech space. And then I became their marketing department. And then I really had a boss that let me like play with my journalist skills. So I went all in on the blog. And then our tech clients started asking us to do marketing for them. So I got to launch a marketing agency in the tech space. Mm-hmm. And was super awesome. And it was great to be in a company where I had all this access to research and data and people who had just been like studying what works and what doesn't work for marketing. Because normally when a tech company comes in and they're like, why aren't people buying? It was almost always a marketing issue. So it was super cool to have that perspective while I was learning the ropes of marketing. And then I decided to move out of that space and open my own marketing agency, because while I really enjoyed learning everything, well, certainly was a lot more to learn. I enjoyed learning what I learned in the tech space, but then I was like, my passion really lies elsewhere with a different type of client. So it was a fun transition to take all that I learned and to be able to serve my people.
That's awesome. So tell us about how M. Isa Messaging came about.
Yeah, well, like I said, so I spent nearly 6 years, I guess, in the B2B tech space, and it was so great, like learning all of the market research end of it and getting that perspective and getting the very, you know, technical oriented metrics, tools, what are best practices, what are trends, that perspective of it. But like personally, my heart is with like artists and healers and activists and nonprofits. And also just as a marketer myself, I'd say I skew way more heavily to the creative side than the analytical side. I know that both are important, but just what I really love doing is the creative side. I like experimenting. I like trying things that haven't been done before. So I decided I was going to shift more to small business, activist, nonprofit, artist. Cool. And to do that, I opened my own agency, which is Isa Messaging.
That's so cool. And then, so how do you guys really differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
I think just in a lot of ways, everything about us is kind of just loud. You know, like if you go look at my color scheme, it's fantastically bizarre. Like the inspiration for the colors was the bird of paradise flowers in space. If that gives
well, that's
you a
so
sense.
Cool.
But then also a passion of mine is to really work with historically marginalized entrepreneurs. So I check a few boxes myself as a historically marginalized entrepreneur. And then just right now being the wave of the Great Resignation. do you have the Great Resignation in Canada as well? Or it's a big thing here right now.
No, I don't think so. Not that I've heard of.
So
explain it to me.
It's kind of a trending topic right now about like unprecedented numbers of people like during like this stage of the pandemic quitting their jobs and a lot of them going into business for themselves. And okay. There's kind of like this philosophical cultural aspect where people are just like, we're not sure the way work used to be works for us anymore.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my clients are like ex-corporate people or people that, you know, did the 9-to-5 for a long time and are just like, you know, I want work to feel more fulfilling than this. And so yeah. The way that I can realize that dream is to go into business for myself, be mission-led, be values-led, break some rules, basically.
Yeah.
So I feel like super suited to be the marketing agency for these people because I'm never going to be like, do things the way it's always been done before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. And you know what? I have 100% noticed that is definitely a trend in Canada right now. I think everyone, you know, just making that transition from, you know, going out of their homes to work every day and not having much balance to working from home and probably being more productive at the end of the day because you're not spending all this time in commuting and you know, going to meetings and stuff like that. So yeah, I feel like people are just definitely valuing having that more purpose-driven career. And it's really interesting. So if you had one growth tip that you could share with other agency owners, what would that be?
I think it would be to make sure you are taking care of the emotional aspect of entrepreneurship. That's something I think like most business programs, most business coaches don't address as much, or it's kind of secondary. Mm-hmm. I think for me, like figuring out a way to healthily handle the emotions of uncertainty, of rejection, of processing quote unquote failure. I don't really believe in failure because I think it's all like a great learning experience.
Just like day-to-day stressors.
Right. Like just having like the emotional, my business coach calls it responsibility, like the capacity to respond in a healthy, productive, forward-moving way when challenges arises, I think is so important because entrepreneurship, running an agency, owning a business, all this stuff will test you in new ways for sure.
yeah, definitely. Okay, that's a great tip. I love that. So let's delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about the courage to do things differently. So I think this is such a great idea and something to definitely embrace. So tell us, why are you passionate about this idea of having the courage to do things differently?
Oh, I have a few reasons. So one, I remember working with big like enterprise corporate clients, you generally need a team of a bunch of people to sign off on anything you do. And then the more buy-in you need, the more people you need to satisfy like the more the message gets sanitized, edge gets taken off. Like, this doesn't happen always, but it's a thing I frequently noticed. And I noticed that when we were like needing to back up our ideas, it was often like, who else has done this before? Who says it's a best practice? What is the data, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember
you just question things.
Right. Or you need to like have it proven before you try it a lot of the time, or it feels risky to people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's value in that perspective, but I remember just feeling like really, there's something I don't like about this. And I was trying to be like, okay, well, I mean, sensitive artiste, right? Like let's separate that. Is this something I don't, what about this approach makes me so uncomfortable? And then like, at some point it just struck me, I'm like, the first person to try every single marketing best practice didn't know it was the best practice yet.
Yeah,
you know, so we'd never have a new best practice if there weren't people willing to take risks and experiment and try something different that wasn't yet supported by the data. Yeah. And then also being an embedded in a market research agency for so long, I really had the privileged perspective of seeing that while statistics and stats and graphs and charts, et cetera, are so prized in making decisions and setting the tone for the marketing industry, mm-hmm. I really kind of got a bird's eye view of how easy it is to either purposely manipulate statistics or unintentionally manipulate them. And this can happen in so many ways, like an inappropriately small sample size for quantitative research, or outdated statistics. Like, so a lot of buyer behavior in digital marketing changes so quickly with, you know, current events. What are the new tools out there? Et cetera, that like studies become outdated very quickly. And then also seeing stuff like sometimes the sample is limited by geography or by demographics or other things that aren't really taken into consideration when these statistics go viral and show up in everyone's PowerPoint or on the stage of a marketing conference. And then it was funny because I just want to be clear, I'm not saying that like statistics and research aren't valuable. I'm just saying that it's important to look at where did those numbers come from? Are they still relevant? Should they dictate what we do?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And that it's funny because personally, I've been like really trying to on a continuing education streak for myself lately on Instagram. Like, how do you grow your Instagram? How do you market effectively for different types of businesses? And I was trying to get like a solid answer for, let's say you're a brand new business and you're trying to grow your follower account and you're currently under 1,000 followers. I was mm-hmm. like, all right, how frequently should you post? And within 1 month, I looked at really interesting articles from reputable sources that had access to huge data sets. I think I was looking at like Later and Hootsuite that were like, we literally looked at millions of profiles to get this number.
Yeah.
And all of them had a different recommendation. And I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but because they had different data sets, the numbers they came up with were so different.
Interesting.
And I was like, this is so important to keep in mind when we're thinking about best practices and smart moves and strategy, that you need some context around the numbers you're looking at. You need a lot of context around the numbers you're looking at.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's a really good point. And then, so how would you say this mindset has served you as an agency owner?
Well, audacity is one of my core business values, and I'm proud of that because I think I'm kind of more, my company is more willing than many others to try something brand new, to experiment, mm-hmm. To be bold, to be unafraid, particularly with our client base, to be willing to scare people off in order to really get to the right target audience, the ideal customers that are going to be in 110%.
Right.
So just the courage to be able to like stand out on a limb by ourselves until our people find us is how I think this perspective really, serves us as an agency and our clients as well.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, so how would you say you become more courageous as a business owner?
It's definitely a practice, for sure. So that's why I'm saying, like, being able to handle the emotional aspect is really important. So you, I don't want to make this sound like all hashtag self-care, but like you do need some ways. So to, for how are you going to handle the challenging emotions when people push back or don't like what you're doing or tell you you're doing it wrong because the majority of other marketing agencies aren't doing it this way. I don't want to just say develop a thick skin, because like you want to be able to take feedback and be able to take what's valuable and leave the rest.
But, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. And then, so what are some examples of ways that you guys have done things differently from other agencies out there?
So I think primarily, getting to be really specific about who we're serving and who our clients are serving. So, I think I have like on our homepage and our about page, one of the shout outs for like, who do we serve? Who are we best suited to serve as marketing? Like we've specifically called out like queer and BIPOC entrepreneurs. And that is something that I, coming from a corporate background, you'd never be that specific. You'd use it in much more like positive, everybody's included language, like we value diversity, type of things. But from my perspective, if you say everyone's included and then don't like make any specific like overtures to people who haven't been historically included in marketing or messaging, et cetera, for different types of marketing, they won't feel included. Mm-hmm. And it goes like all the way to like, who's visible in your marketing, who's visible in your imagery? Like, how do you talk? Like, what's the cadence? What's the rhythm? What sort of slang do you bring in? That kind of thing. And so for a lot of our clients, like they're coming to us, like having been told previously, like, this is too specific to Black women, or like make it broader, et cetera, et cetera. And we're like, no, be that specific. There are enough people out there of your, like really ideal, honestly ideal customer that they're going to love being this visible, being this spoken to in your marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You need to speak to that target market and have them feel heard. People just want to feel heard at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So what are some great lessons you've had along the way as a result of having this mindset?
I think like I'm kind of like teaching myself as I teach my clients that there are bad fit clients. Like I've had some like kind of corporate type clients come knocking at the door. I'm like, sure, I'll work with you. And then I'm like, you know, I don't think that we're the agency for you, because we're not the like appeal to the masses type of marketing. Like that's not our specialty.
Yeah.
And just like being like, it's okay to be like, you know, what you want sounds great. That's just like, we're not the agency to do that for you. Here are some recommendations. That was a bit of a learning curve for me, because I think like a lot of new agency owners, I'm like, I want to serve a lot of different types of customers.
Yeah. And it's hard to turn away the income at the early stages as well.
Exactly.
Okay. So you just, you were very, you stuck with who you wanted to serve, and then you just, referred everyone else out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Awesome. And then, so what are some emotional aspects of taking creative risks?
I think that, for me, being able to handle the pushback, because taking a risk, like we have it in the title of this episode, the courage to take risks. It does take courage. And it, when you're doing it for a company, it takes a group of people being willing to like kind of go on out on that limb, do something differently than they've been told, and be visible. And when you're visible like that, one, you create the opportunity to find or to have your exactly perfect ideal target market come to you and be like really loyal, really excited and like evangelized about your brand, tell all their friends, etc. But you're also visible to people who are not going to like that sort of messaging. They're not going to, they're either going to be offended if they consider it political, or they're going to not like it if it's different from what we've often been told is like marketing best practice, etc. Mm-hmm. And just being able to have the grace to be like, it's okay for people to push back. I'm probably going to have to cheerlead some people to be like, we can do this. This is going to open so many doors for the brand, for the marketing, for the market.
Yeah.
And then also to be able to be like, it's okay to not have everybody be 1,000% behind us. Like they can show themselves out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good. Is there anything else you'd like to add about having the courage to do things differently within your agency?
Yeah, I think that a tendency I've seen from other creatives that are kind of like in this position of like, we're kind of like, I don't want to, we're like almost like being visible in a way that's against some of the marketing best practices we weren't crazy about, mm-hmm. is that like, you don't have to pre-defend yourself, you know? Like a lot of people go into this type of positioning or type of work like, I have to defend against the haters immediately before I even know who the haters are.
Okay.
Which can lead to being personally like a little defensive and uncomfortable and on guard, and your messaging maybe like going off on some rabbit holes. But
so you're just saying like own it instead of being like defending it first and then just going out on a limb type thing.
Well, own it, but also like give people an opportunity to see the positive in it. And then if you're in the space of like, I'm so excited about the doors, trying this new way is going to open up for our customers, is going to change the culture, is going to change what's mainstream. If you approach it from that place of hope and positivity and evolution, you might not have to deal with haters in the way you're afraid of. Like you mm-hmm. might have to deal with questions, people unsure, maybe some pushback, but then you can handle it with more grace rather than just like immediately being on guard and combative and trying to defend, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That definitely makes a lot of sense. And then, so where do you see ESEM messaging in 5 years' time?
I would like to continue to grow my team. And then I have a personal ambition of starting an internship program. And so when
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I have a little backstory behind this. When I was the director of the marketing agency in the tech space, and then when I was helping hire for the newspaper, I had this sadness because one of the requirements to get hired was that you have like a byline in a reputable publication to be able to come on this job. And writing is one of the most important skills that I hire for, particularly for content marketing or social media type roles. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the pool of candidates, even if we took off the like, you need a certain degree, like for most of our requirements were like, you need a degree or equivalent work experience, but the only like hard and fast rule is like, you need to be published and you need a byline. And I was sad to see that the pool of candidates that turned up time and time again was not particularly diverse. And so I have a dream to start a paid internship that would get bylines to more diverse groups of people so that they have more qualifications to be hired. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. I know it's hard because so many internships are unpaid and it's just like, it's not fair, you know, like they're super qualified. They've just come out of school. They're in so much debt, and to expect someone to work for free is, I don't think it's fair at all. So I love that. It's a really cool mission to have.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. It's hard to do the unpaid internships for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I'd like to recommend The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And I just love it. It's so great. It brings in a lot of the emotional aspects we were talking about being creatively brave and consistent with your creativity and believing in your own creativity. Mm. It's like, I think it's like a 12-week book where it incorporates like journaling prompts and exercises and stuff. And it helps you get into like brave, creative habits.
Okay, great. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Well, out in the hamlet of Beaver Creek, I actually live on a farm. So my morning routine is getting up very early and feeding a lot of animals, but it's really nice.
That's awesome.
I feel like starting the day with movement and fresh air really just helps everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be such a relaxing place to live on a farm. Like, I know it's a lot of work, but that's awesome. I love that. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying Maddie Woodard and Jewel Kim. I love the way they do Instagram stuff. And then I also really enjoy Intuitive Edge Coaching or Sarah Beyer, who's a very unique business coach that talks a lot about the emotional aspects of it.
Perfect. What is your favorite online tool?
I'm totally in love with Canva.
Same. I used to be like a graphic designer, like all about Adobe Creative Suite 100%. And when I discovered Canva, I was like, wow, like that loyalty left pretty quick. Such a great tool. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I'd realized how much choice overload is a thing. I had a bit of a transition where sales made me really uncomfortable. I was like, I like inbound marketing because then I don't have to push anything and people just show up. Mm-hmm. But of course, when you're starting a business rather than like running something with an already super established customer base, like you're going to have to like have more of those sales conversations.
Yes.
And I think in an effort to try to not feel like I was being pushy, or I'd be like, you have this option at this price point and this option at this price point and all these other options depending on your situation. And the customer would be like, I came to you because I don't know how to do this. And I just want you to tell me what I need. And so I wish I'd realized, you know, simplify the choices, don't make them work.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a complete art to sales, 100%, finding out exactly what that customer need is and then tailoring it for whoever you're speaking with. There's a lot to it.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Issa. It's been really great chatting with you.
Likewise. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.